Lesson number 10 in Mystery Babylon. It's a fascinating study as we're gathering all the doctrinal evidence to mark it down, how to identify the mother of Revelation 17:5, when it says, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. We understand that it has to do with mystery. This mystery that this mother has over this entire earth from Genesis to Revelation has to do with Satan's desire, as he runs the mother, to fool people through subtlety and trickery and wiles and beguiling them and tricking them and deceiving them. That's always what it has to do with. And it appeals to the lust of man's flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's always that way since the garden. So we're going to continue on, and we're in the book of Judges, and we're going to go to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Now this is a fascinating section in Judges. Remember Judges as we saw yesterday. Again, this is lesson 10. We saw yesterday in Judges how that the book ends after 400 plus years. It says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There's the problem. So let's gather some more doctrinal evidence, and we're going to look in Judges chapter 16, look at verse 4. Yeah, Judges 16, look at verse 4. Now watch this. Why would I put this in here regarding Samson and Delilah? You'll see why it has to do with the mother. This is fascinating. 16:4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved the woman, that would be Samson, in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. So the Philistines, who are the enemy of Israel at the time, they want to get Samson because of all the Philistines he had killed at this point. Now, they understand that Samson fell in love with this woman, Delilah. So they're trying to entice her to get him. Now, what's fascinating about that is the mother of Revelation 17 uses women many, many times throughout the scriptures to pull down strong men. I'm going to show you that in an illustration here. In verse 6, and Delilah said to Samson, watch this. Now, Samson had a few little bit of experiences with women as of late. Remember his first wife given to his friend, given away by the father. So Samson was, pretty ticked off about that. But let's look at verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Oh yeah, I'm going to tell you how that you can bind me so I can be afflicted. Okay. And Samson said unto her, what? Now he's lying. If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Now that's what he tells her. He tells her the story. Now watch this. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. Look at this. This Jezebel betrayer, traitor. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire, so his strength was not known. This story boggles my mind. Not just the story, but look at the subtlety of Satan behind it. Verse 10. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, I told you lies on how you can just get me captured by the Philistines. Oh, silly me. And verse 11, and he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson! And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Now watch it, it gets better. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Notice there's no liars in wait in the chamber now. I mean, they tried this twice. They had some thugs sitting off to the side to get him in case his strength went from him. But they're not there the third time. They said, yeah, okay. Tell you what, Delilah, when you get this figured out, you give us a call. Verse 14. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson, and he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Now, this is where the mother really shows her colors of Revelation 17. And this is specifically for you men out there who are believing children of the Most High God. If you're a man, okay, and how does the Bible define a man? Well, it's in 1 Kings 2. You want me to show it to you? 1 Kings chapter 2. When David was fixing to die, he tells Solomon, his son, what a man is. In 1 Kings chapter 2, look at verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and do what? And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. That's what a man is. A man in the scriptures is defined as someone who believes the book and keeps it and does it. Well, guess what? Samson, you know, he was a man. Definitely. But all you men out there, if you have a Bible-believing wife, praise the Lord for her. If she is a helper unto you, she's submissive unto you in everything, she will be a great help to you in your life as a believer. Okay? If you have a wife that is not a Bible-believing wife, and if she's not, let's say if she's, well, that's a whole nother subject. But anyways, let's just leave it at that. Let's just leave it at that. If you men out there, okay, you are supremely, supremely to follow the scriptures at all times. And that is the best demonstration how you can love your wife then. Watch it. Verse 15. Watch what the mother of Revelation does here. And she said unto him. Now watch this. Watch verse 15. Watch what Delilah says unto Samson. How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? That is the age-old argument from women since you learn about them in grammar school all the way up till you die. If a woman, now think about it, if a woman, if you don't agree with them, they will always pull that card out. You don't love me. How do you say you love me if your heart's not with me? I mean, come on, how can you not be in agreement with me? If your heart's not with me, you don't love me. They do it every time. So when you know that's in the scriptures, even right here, you men of God, you need to ignore that crap. That's all that is dung. If you got a wife who starts turning in and nagging you and say you don't love, if you're standing for the scriptures now, okay, you're the man, and you're doing what's right by the Lord, and the Lord is pleased, and you're doing everything right in His eyes, okay, and you got a wife who's sitting saying, you don't love me and all this stuff, ignore it in one ear and out the other. Okay, verse 15. Then she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. So that's what she says. That's how she tries to break the ice. You don't love me. If you love me, your heart would be with me. Verse 16, watch this. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. The ultimate nagging wife, as demonstrated in the scriptures. Here is the ultimate nag. Right here. Don't you know? See, Solomon had not written yet, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a brawling, contentious woman. And a contentious woman and a very rainy day are alike. He didn't know that yet. Okay, but watch this. Verse 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Now, here's the key. Seriously, I'm not joking. With all the reason Samson's soul could be vexed unto death and drawn in is because he loved her. You see? He loved Delilah. It was an earthly love. You need to love God supremely, man, and then everything will be fine in your earthly relationship. Verse 17, then he told her all his heart. See that? You see how this subtlety, it's not even subtle anymore with her, I should say, but the subtlety of what's behind it breaks this man, this strong man down. Samson was physically tremendously strong, and he held out for a while. Then he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Right here is one of the greatest demonstrations of this system as run by the mother. Watch it, verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. See that? Obviously, for whatever reasons, I know Samson was vexed unto death. I know she pressed him daily with her words. She started it all up by saying, how can you say you love me? So when a woman starts to break down a man by saying, you don't love me because you don't agree, you men need to stand strong with the book. Okay? And even though she may press you daily with her words and urge you, and if your soul is even vexed unto death, when he told her all his heart, what he did by revealing that, people can say, well, he trusted her. You know, I don't know if I trust someone just trying to get me knocked off 3 times by the Philistines. Either way, he still told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not a razor come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, see what the mother does? She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. And remember, I recall to your memory, what is the lust of the flesh that she's drawn? What would be the lust of the flesh here? Don't you remember that they all offered every one of them offered her 1,100 pieces of silver? That's the lust of the flesh. You see that? She wants that money. She's driven by money. Okay? Now, I want to show you something here about that money. As we're going to stop right there in verse 18. We're coming back. Keep your hand there. You want to see what this mother is interested in when it comes to money? Go with me to Revelation chapter 18. In Revelation chapter 17, we see about Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I want to show you what this mother is interested in order of importance. Money is her main thrust, is the main thing she is interested in. Revelation chapter 18, talking about when this mother is going to fall. Okay, look at how she falls and she's going to just be destroyed by God Almighty. But watch what was in her. Look at verse 11. Revelation 18:11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Watch what was in the mother. The first thing, what you're going to read now in these two verses, is the things that are important to the mother. Okay, this is important to the mother. And just as Delilah is driven by money, the lust of the flesh, to destroy someone who loves her. Now, his love, you might say, is it a little screwed up here? Doesn't matter. Watch what the mother's interested in, verse 12. The merchandise of gold. That's the top thing. Look at next. This is important. Hang in here. And silver, a notch under. And precious stones, a notch under. And of pearls. And of fine linen. And purple. And silk. And scarlet. And all fine wood. And all manner vessels of ivory. And all manner vessels of most precious wood. And of brass, and iron, and marble. See how it keeps going down? And cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves. Look at the last thing the mother's interested in. And souls of men. You see that? There is your Old Testament illustration of the mother just getting warmed up at that. The last thing the mother is interested in is in the souls of men. That's the last thing. And all they do there, we will see later in the scriptures, in this false religious system that the mother is associated with, Okay? The souls of men. Where's the souls of men? That's both on the earth, and even after you die, they come up with doctrines like the dead are in a place called purgatory, and you got to light all these candles and do and pay for all these indulgences to pray their souls out of purgatory. The last thing the mother's interested in is the souls of men. The first thing the mother's interested in is gold. Okay? You see that? You read that list of everything. It just keeps coming down. It just keeps coming down. And when it hits rock bottom, the last thing is the souls of men. And that's what you see going on here with Delilah. So go back to Judges chapter 16. And it says in verse 18, "And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying," that's nice, huh? Yeah. Samson finally, because of all of the stuff you're doing, tells you all his heart and does everything. And what do? You go and call for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." "Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand." Remember, as the old mafia guys used to say in Chicago, if you can't understand something, a buck is involved. You see that? It's true. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil. Abraham was rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he was called the friend of God. King David was rich. Solomon was rich. There's nothing wrong with money. But right here, we see that when it becomes the love of money. This mother, this false religious system that is interested in gold first and the souls of men last. It's even after horses. Even after slaves. And horses are above the souls of men in Revelation 18. That ought to tell you something. You see, the last thing the mother is interested in is you. Because you are a living soul. That's the last thing on their mind. So you see this happening right here. So when they bring money in their hand, and Delilah now betrays Samson. Look at verse 19. "And she made him sleep upon her knees." That is so wicked. You know, here, Samson, here. Just sleep here right upon my knees. Take a nap there. You know, I can remember being a little boy taking a nap and even though I was an unsaved, lost Roman heathen Catholic, but I can still remember, you know, even when I was little before, I can remember taking a nap and, you know, and just being comforted that this is a nap. I can, you know, I don't really ever have a chance to take a nap today, but now as a believer, I can remember it was about a month ago, I'd have to ask my wife, but I actually had time on, I think it was a Sunday, to take a nap. We got done with, you know, with Bible school and everything, and 4 hours of teaching can wear you out, praise the Lord. I took a 2 or 3 hour nap, and it was restful. It was unto the Lord. It was sleeping. June the cat's down here. But notice this now, verse 19, "And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said," watch what he says, he thinks everything's okay, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Because Samson betrayed that vow unto the Lord he had regarding his hair. The vow of a Nazarite. And he sells out. That's June the cat underneath the table killing something. It's one of her toys. He breaks that vow of a Nazarite unto God and bears his soul to a woman who he knows is trying to betray him. I don't know if he thought it would happen. I don't know what he was thinking. I just know what the scripture says he did. In verse 21, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." Right there is a great biblical illustration of what will happen to a man who forgets his vow unto God and his duty unto God Almighty and lets his love for a woman cause him to sell out. You know what Proverbs says? Buy the truth and sell it not. You don't sell out, man, because you are going to have your eyes put out spiritually. You're going to be blinded. You won't be able to see anything. You'll be deceived. And you'll be, and as Samson was brought down to Gaza and bound with fetters of brass. Brass in the Bible is a sign of judgment. And he did grind in the prison house. Imagine that. In the prison house, you will become a slave to sin, a servant of sin. You see? Now, because it is an illustration, we're in the Old Testament, watch God Almighty. I want to make sure I don't go over in time. Watch God Almighty, as it says in Corinthians, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. All right. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of his hair starts to grow, huh? Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god. Yeah, you see that? Here's these Philistines. They have a god. It's called Dagon. And they're going to have a sacrifice and to rejoice. So in the false religious system, they'll have sacrifices. They'll be rejoicing. They'll be merry. They'll be partying. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. So they're actually giving credit unto Dagon. Okay? Now watch it. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Now, the Philistines are really believing that Dagon did this, that Dagon delivered Samson into their hand. So these unbelieving, uncircumcised Philistines are having faith in their false god. Well, let's see how it works out for them. Okay, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry, verse 25, that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. He's just their entertainment now. And they set him between the pillars. And you know the story. It's a great story. June the cat is killing that toy. I wish you could see it. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, watch this. This is a great thing. Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women. So notice, whenever the mother and Satan has an event, it'll be a packed house. You remember that, all these church buildings filled with thousands. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Now there's some Old Testament doctrine there. You know, if you pluck out the eye of a servant, he was to be set free because of his eye's sake, if you were his master. So here, Samson has a case in so many ways, and he calls upon God to have mercy on him and to strengthen him, okay? So look at verse 29. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. What can we learn from that? It's a great study. In fact, as a man, you know that if you love a woman, the best way you can love her is to stand for the word of God, to be a man. Show thyself a man, as 1 Kings 2 says, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and be a man of God to your wife. Now, as he loves this woman, she then tries to betray him and uses, remember what the mother will do. And if Samson could be subtly, it wore him down as she says, you don't love me because your heart's not with me. When someone says that to you, if you're standing for truth and someone doesn't like it and they say, you don't love me because you're not in agreement with me, like all these churches do today. You got to show us love, and you don't have the love of the Spirit, Martin, as they said at the Canton Christian Church. And don't come here because you don't have the love of the Spirit. Now listen. You don't even know what love is, okay? Because our hearts aren't together. Don't buy into it. That's part of Satan's plan. And then when they say things like, you know, well, of course, she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. A woman has that quality upon a man who loves her. But again, men, love the Lord supremely, and then you can properly love your wife. Well, as the mother of Revelation, then, of course, this was all motivated by money. Why did Delilah do it? They offered her all this silver, and they paid her off. And then just like in Revelation 18, where the first thing that the mother is interested in is gold, and the last thing of all the things in descending order of importance, the last thing the mother is interested in is the souls of men. So this mother and this false religious system is not interested in the souls of men, is supremely interested in gold. You remember that. And then, here's the coup de grace. Here is the final deception of it all. All the Philistines who were serving Dagon, their god, guess what? Dagon was of no help to them, was he? Because all 3,000 of them died when Samson caved the house in. So even in Satan's church, he doesn't care that he lost 3,000 of his children. This mother, this subtle mother, this great whore who is responsible for all the blood shed upon the earth, we're going to see in Revelation. Do you know that every drop of blood shed upon the earth, every drop, it says in Revelation, has been the responsibility of this mother. And all the death, and all of it, it says that. We'll see it when we get there. But you mark it down. That even in the end, all of the children of Satan were killed by the mother, that great whore, who's just getting started. All right. Well, I had a great time teaching that one. I had a lot of fun. I really learned a lot myself teaching it. Now we're going to see tomorrow, very important lesson, Lord willing, if I live, how that in Judges, we're going to see where the birthplace in Judges 17 came for giving religious titles unto priests, calling them father, small f. That's where that gets its birthplace, is Judges 17. We'll see tomorrow, Lord willing. And that's why Jesus Christ says in Matthew 23, when it comes to religious titles, call no man upon your earth father in religious titles. That religious title gets its birthplace in the next chapter, Judges 17. All right.